Hey everyone, welcome back. We're taking a deep dive today into something pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Microfluidics.
Microfluidics.
You might be thinking, micro what?
Right.
But trust me, this is seriously cool stuff, especially if you're at all interested in the future of medicine.
Absolutely.
And you know like how we diagnose diseases?
Yeah.
Because we're talking about shrinking down entire labs to the size of a chip.
It's pretty mind-boggling.
Seriously.
When you think about it.
It is.
We're essentially channeling chemical reactions in spaces so tiny, they're measured in picoliters.
Okay, hold on, picoliters.
Yeah.
For those of us who don't speak fluent science,
sure.
Could you break that down?
Yeah.
How small are we talking here?
Picture this. A single drop of water contains about 50 microliters.
Right.
Now divide that drop into a million tiny droplets.
A million.
Each one of those droplets would be about 50 picoliters.
Wow.
That's the scale we're working with.
That's tiny. But why is working with such small volumes such a big deal?
Well, for starters, it allows for something called high throughput screening.
Okay.
Imagine testing thousands of different drug combinations or potential disease treatments all at once on a single chip.
Yeah.
And because we're using such tiny amounts of fluid, we only need a minuscule amount of each reagent.
So it's like running a massive experiment in a space smaller than a dime?
Exactly.
That's incredible. But how do you even control reactions happening in such a tiny space?
That's where the real magic of microfluidics comes in.
Okay.
We can actually manipulate fluids with incredible precision at this scale.
Huh?
Using techniques like electrosmotic flow or pressure-driven flow, we can direct those picoliter-sized droplets exactly where we want them to go.
So it's not just about miniaturization.
Yeah, it's about control.
It's about gaining a level of control that was previously impossible.
Precisely.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I bet that leads to some seriously accurate results.
Absolutely.
Right.
The precise control over things like temperature mixing and reaction timing dramatically increases the reproducibility of experiments.
That makes sense.
This means scientists can be more confident in their findings, which is crucial, especially when it comes to things like drug development.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Speaking of drug development, I remember Cocktail Party Chemistry did an episode on microfluidics a while back.
Oh, yeah.
Episode 84, Microfluidic Marvels, Chemistry on a Chip.
That's right.
And it highlighted how these labs on a chip could change the way we diagnose diseases.
Exactly.
I'm guessing that has a lot to do with this precise control we're talking about.
Absolutely. When you combine that level of control with the ability to integrate sensors directly onto the chip, things get really interesting.
Sensors, like those biosensors we talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
In that other Cocktail Party Chemistry episode.
Exactly.
You're telling me we can actually watch reactions happening in real time on these chips.
Exactly. Imagine being able to track how individual cells respond to a new drug.
Okay.
Or observe a virus replicating.
Wow.
In real time.
Yeah.
This level of detail was unthinkable with traditional lab techniques.
Okay, now I'm really seeing the potential here. It's like having a microscope into the world of molecules.
Yeah.
So how is all of this actually being used to change healthcare?
One of the most exciting areas is point-of-care diagnostics.
Okay.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Instead of drawing vials of blood and sending them to a lab for analysis, imagine getting results within minutes.
Okay.
Right at the doctor's office.
Wow.
Or even at home.
That sounds revolutionary.
It is.
I could see how that would be a game changer.
Absolutely.
Especially for people in remote areas or in emergency situations where every minute counts.
Yeah.
But how does microfluidics actually make this type of rapid testing possible?
Well, let's dive into that next.
All right, listeners, buckle up. This deep dive is about to go even deeper.
Yeah.
All right.
Microfluidics allows us to take what would normally be a complex multi-step lab process and condense it onto a single chip. For example, a microfluidic device designed to detect a specific disease marker could have tiny channels and chambers that separate out specific components of a blood sample
Right.
mix them with the necessary reagents,
Okay.
and then deliver the results to a sensor,
Wow.
all in a matter of minutes.
So we're talking about a miniaturized automated lab
Yes.
all on a chip the size of a fingernail.
Exactly.
That's incredible. What other amazing applications are being explored?
Well, there are quite a few,
Oh, come on.
but perhaps the most promising is
Don't leave us hanging. What is it?
personalized medicine.
Okay.
Imagine tailoring treatments to each individual patient
Right.
based on their unique genetic makeup or specific disease
It's just
biomarkers.
the holy grail of medicine, isn't it? It would be like having a medication designed specifically for you. But how does microfluidics fit into that picture?
It all comes down to analyzing and manipulating individual cells.
Okay.
Microfluidic devices allow us to isolate single cells from a sample and then expose them to different drugs or stimuli.
Okay.
This lets us observe how individual cells respond to treatment
Right.
rather than just looking at the average response of a whole population of cells.
Because instead of a one-size-fits-all
Oh,
approach, we
precise.
could actually see which treatments work best
Yeah.
for each individual person.
Precisely.
That's amazing.
And that level of precision is key to developing more effective therapies
Right.
with fewer side effects.
I see.
But this is just the tip of the iceberg.
If there's more, this is getting better and better.
Oh, absolutely. We've only just begun to explore the possibilities of this incredible technology.
Oh.
We can even recreate incredibly realistic models of human organs on chips.
Oh, wow.
Think of a miniature heart, lung, or liver, all functioning on a device you can hold in your hand.
Hold on. We're not just shrinking down labs.
Yeah.
We're shrinking down entire organs.
That's right.
This is getting a bit sci-fi for me.
It might sound like science fiction,
It does.
but it's quickly becoming reality. These
Wow.
organ-on-a-chip models
Okay.
are revolutionizing drug testing and development.
Okay. Now my mind is officially blown.
Yeah.
How do these miniature organs even work? And what makes them so revolutionary for drug testing?
It's all about recreating the complex environment of a real organ.
Okay.
These chips are designed with tiny channels that mimic blood vessels and tissues,
Right.
allowing us to study how cells interact with each other
Okay.
and with different drugs in a more realistic setting.
So instead of testing drugs on animals or in a petri dish,
Exactly.
we can now see how they actually affect human cells in a more natural environment.
That's the idea.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It seems like a much more ethical approach to
Absolutely.
reducing the reliance on animal testing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And beyond drug testing, these organ-on-a-chip models are also being used to study the progression of diseases
Okay.
and to develop new personalized therapies.
I'm starting to see how all of this ties back to that cocktail party chemistry episode on microfluidics.
Right.
They mentioned how these devices could make chemistry more accessible and portable.
That's a key point.
Yeah.
Microfluidics is democratizing science in a way.
Huh.
It's allowing researchers in all sorts of fields to conduct complex experiments
Okay.
with less equipment, fewer resources, and in a much more controlled environment.
So it's not just about the miniaturization, it's about opening up a whole new world
Yeah.
of possibilities for research and discovery.
Precisely. And when you consider the potential of microfluidics to create personalized therapies,
Right.
portable diagnostic tools, and even artificial organs,
Wow.
it's clear that we're just scratching the surface of what's possible.
It's truly remarkable to think that something so small could have such a huge impact on science and medicine. But with all this talk about shrinking things down, I'm curious, what are some of the challenges in working at such a tiny scale?
That's a great question. It's certainly not without its challenges.
Yeah.
One of the biggest hurdles is figuring out how to manufacture these intricate devices
Okay.
reliably and affordably.
Right.
Remember, we were talking about tiny channels and chambers
Huh.
that are often just a few micrometers wide.
So it's a manufacturing challenge. It sounds like you would need incredibly precise tools and techniques to
Absolutely.
create these microfluidic devices.
You're absolutely right. It
Yeah.
requires a whole new set of manufacturing processes,
Right.
drawing on techniques from fields like microfabrication and nanotechnology.
Right.
Researchers are constantly developing new materials and fabrication methods to make these devices more robust, reliable, and cost-effective.
Okay, so it's a rapidly evolving field.
Very much so.
But what about the chemistry itself? Does working with such tiny volumes change the way chemical reactions occur?
That's a fascinating question. The short answer is yes. In some ways, it does.
Okay.
For example, in traditional chemistry, reactions often rely on random collisions between molecules in a large solution.
Yeah.
But in microfluidic channels, we can precisely control the flow and mixing of fluids, influencing how molecules interact.
So you're almost choreographing the chemical reactions.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
It allows us to fine-tune reaction conditions and potentially achieve outcomes that wouldn't be possible in a traditional lab setting.
I'm starting to realize that microfluidics is more than just a miniaturization trend.
Yeah.
It's a whole new way of thinking about chemistry and biology.
Absolutely. It's forcing us to reconsider the fundamental principles of how we conduct experiments.
Wow.
And pushing the boundaries of what's possible in scientific research.
Well, I'm definitely hooked. But I have to ask, what are some real-world examples of microfluidics that our listeners might already be familiar with?
You might be surprised to learn that microfluidics is already being used in a lot of everyday applications. For example, have you ever used a home pregnancy test?
Of course. But what does that have to do with microfluidics?
Well, those little test strips actually contain microfluidic channels that are used to detect the presence of a specific hormone in urine.
Interesting.
It's a simple yet elegant application of this technology.
Wow. That's amazing. Oh. I never would have guessed that.
Yeah.
So it's not just this futuristic sci-fi concept.
Right.
It's already having a tangible impact on people's lives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And another common example is glucose meters.
Okay.
Which diabetics use to monitor their blood sugar levels. They also rely on microfluidics to analyze tiny droplets of blood.
So even though most people have never heard of microfluidics, it's actually already playing a significant role.
It really is.
In healthcare and diagnostics.
And as the technology continues to advance, we can expect to see even more innovative and life-changing applications emerge in the years to come.
It's all very exciting.
Yeah.
But we would be remiss if we didn't talk about some of the potential challenges and ethical considerations surrounding this technology.
You're absolutely right. As with any powerful technology, there are important ethical and societal implications that we need to consider carefully.
So for part three of our deep dive, let's shift gears a bit and explore some of those important questions. All right. So we've explored this amazing world of microfluidics. We've seen how it's revolutionizing healthcare.
Yeah.
And even glimpsed its potential for creating artificial organs.
It's amazing stuff.
But now let's get real for a moment.
Okay.
What are some of the potential downsides or ethical concerns that we should be thinking about?
That's a crucial point. As with any powerful new technology, we need to be mindful of the potential risks and unintended consequences.
Right. For example, you mentioned earlier that microfluidics could lead to more personalized medicine. That sounds amazing in theory.
Yeah.
But could it also create a healthcare system where only the wealthy can afford these tailored treatments?
That's a valid concern. Personalized medicine has the potential to be incredibly effective.
Yeah.
But it also raises questions about access and affordability.
Right.
If these treatments are expensive and not covered by insurance, it could exacerbate existing healthcare disparities.
So we need to think carefully about how to ensure that these advancements benefit everyone, not just a select few.
Absolutely.
What other ethical challenges do you see on the horizon?
Another concern is data privacy.
Okay.
Microfluidic devices often involve analyzing sensitive biological information like DNA or blood samples. As this technology becomes more widespread, we need to ensure that this data is protected and used responsibly.
That makes sense. Imagine if your genetic information collected through a simple microfluidic test fell into the wrong hands. The implications for privacy and discrimination could be huge.
Exactly. We need to develop strong regulations and safeguards to prevent the misuse of this data.
Right.
It's not just about advancing the technology. It's about ensuring it's used ethically and responsibly.
Are there any other potential downsides that we should be aware of?
Well, while microfluidics often uses smaller amounts of reagents compared to traditional methods, the mass production and disposal of these tiny chips could pose environmental challenges if not handled properly.
That's a good point. It's not enough to assume that smaller automatically means more eco-friendly.
Right.
What are researchers doing to address this issue?
Scientists are exploring ways to make these devices more sustainable, such as using biodegradable materials or developing methods to recycle the chips. It's an ongoing area of research, but it's crucial that we consider the environmental impact throughout the entire life cycle of these devices.
It seems like with every exciting possibility, there's also a responsibility to think about the potential downsides.
Absolutely.
But overall, I'm still incredibly optimistic about the future of microfluidics.
Me too. It's a field with enormous potential to improve human health, advance scientific discovery, and even address some of the world's biggest challenges.
Absolutely.
But as we move forward, it's crucial that we have open and honest conversations about the ethical and societal implications of this technology.
Well said. It's not just about the science.
Right.
It's about using that science wisely and thoughtfully for the benefit of all.
Exactly. And that requires collaboration not just between scientists and engineers, but also with ethicists, policymakers, and the public.
So, to our listeners, we encourage you to stay curious, keep learning about these amazing advancements, and engage in those important conversations about how we shape the future of this powerful technology.
The future is not something that simply happens to us. It's something we create together.
That's a perfect note to end on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of microfluidics. Until next time, keep those brains engaged.